just 5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Big show today. Hopefully much better than what we saw last night in the national championship game. Oh my gosh. That was awful. The worst championship game of any kind that I can remember. Just awful. Georgia dismantles TCU 65-7, but we got a busy show today. Zach Stevens is going to join me from DNVR Broncos at 11:30, and we'll break down the coaching candidate situation. Who does he feel is leading right now in this whole thing? Obviously, the guys' names that rise to the top, Dan Quinn, Jim Harbaugh, and Sean Payton, those are the big names. The rest are going to be chances that you take. You know, younger guys, unproven guys, or Frank Reich-type guys in that mix, I suppose, but I don't see that as a realistic thing. So we'll talk to Zach about that a little bit later on. Mike Brohard on to join me, and we'll talk about all things Colorado State. They're going up against Air Force tonight, the men's basketball team. Isaiah Stevens is 25 assists away from breaking the record, breaking the all-time Colorado State Rams assist record. So we'll talk about that throughout the show today. My goodness. That was an ugly one. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's Top Text Tuesday, by the way. We are recharging this. Dixon found a way, man. He found a way. Eastside Chris had won two in a row, and I thought he was going to take one of these $50 gift certificates to Cable's Pub and Grill. But Dixon came roaring back. He won the last 2 weeks, and now we reset. For the winner today gets a $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill. And if you win three of these coming up in this period, then you'll get the $50 gift certificate. So First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, just to get you guys cooking on something. My poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. Who do you think is going to have the better career when it's all said and done? Trey McBride or David Roddy? Both guys get drafted in the same year. Both guys are in the top two rounds. Roddy, a first rounder, McBride, a second rounder. Who do you think is going to have the better career when it's all said and done? And I think right now, David Roddy's off to the best start. He's having the better rookie season. You know, Trey McBride ended up, 29 receptions, 265 yards, and a touchdown on a pretty bad team. Obviously pretty bad. They just fired their coach. Their GM stepped down, so things are really bad in Arizona. Meanwhile, David Roddy is playing meaningful minutes and giving meaningful production to a team that is going to be probably deep in the playoffs this year. So we'll talk about that throughout the day today. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Curious your thoughts on this one. My guess is it's going to be David Roddy. If I were, I think Trey McBride is sensational. But, I mean, just based on the way he's being used so far, he's already off to a great start. So that's kind of where I'm leaning when I look at this and say, man, Roddy's already a big piece of this puzzle for the Memphis Grizzlies. So go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll get your thoughts there. Oh boy. Did you watch any of this, Angel? How much did you stomach of this national championship game before you finally shut it off? Did you watch any of it?
About 17 game minutes.
Yeah, by then it was already like 30-7.
Yeah.
I thought for a moment, there was like a split second in the game, it was 10-7, and I thought, huh. Maybe TCU hangs in there. Georgia was on a different level last night, just winning absolutely big. Now they are no other school besides Alabama has won back-to-back titles since 1990. And if we're looking at it in the real sense of when you win titles rather than just being given a title, because can you believe that? We used to live in a world, I don't even know, Angel. If you were alive at this time, you probably were. We used to just say, hey, you're the national champion. You had the better season. We think you had the best season. Therefore, you're the national champion. And then we finally got to the point where we had a playoff game or a championship game and a playoff game and all that. And now we're figuring this out. It only takes like 900 years for college football to figure out what to do and how to do this. But there you go. Georgia joins your boys, Alabama. Sure felt like it should have been Alabama playing in that game last night.
No, I think the four most deserving teams got into the playoff, and credit to those four schools that to get to that level. It's not easy to get to the four-team playoff, but, you know, if you make yourself look deserving enough, I guess you get a shot.
Well, that's the thing. TCU beat Michigan. So, there you go. I still firmly believe, and I'm not making excuses, this is just my take on this, that the layover, the layoff, whatever, because how many weeks was it since Michigan last played, and then they play again against TCU? I think that gives a lesser team the upper hand. They all have to deal with it. I get that. But I just feel like it gives wacky things happen when you go on a delay. You're not yourself. And I could TCU beat Michigan 6 times out of 10? Maybe so on their best days. But I just feel like when you have a layoff and there's 3 weeks in between your regular season finale and your championship games or whatever and the playoff game, I think that lends itself to weird things happening. But that's the rules. TCU won, and they got into the championship game. But Georgia just looked ridiculous. And I'm telling you, Angel, based on what we've seen, Stetson Bennett is just, 29-3 in his career with Georgia. He looked every bit the part of maybe an NFL quarterback last night. No? How? How did he not look the part?
I don't see him translating to the NFL.
Last night he looked like it, though.
You can look great as a college quarterback.
I'm not
discrediting what he's
bad?
Done at Georgia. I'm just, my personal opinion, I don't think he'll translate to the NFL. That's not to discredit what he's done at Georgia. He's done an awesome thing there, and he, you know, gets all the accolades for his story and his journey. It's awesome. I just don't think he's going to make it in the NFL.
27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 4,127 yards. That was 6th in all of college football. 87.8 QBR. And it's not like he's playing Mountain West opponents. I mean, this is... And their schedule next year, though, is ridiculous.
Ridiculously easy?
Yeah, they're already favored to win. But still, it's you can only play the guys in front of you, and Stetson Bennett at least made a case for himself to be on an NFL roster and to try to pull a Brock Purdy. Nobody thought Brock Purdy would be doing what he's doing right now. If he doesn't crap the bed, that guy could be hoisting up a Lombardi trophy at the end of all things here. So, I'm not going to gamble on this guy being the next big-time quarterback, but I think he certainly turned heads over the last 2 years. And when you come out last night, like the way he did last night, all you can do is beat the teams in front of you. And they just absolutely clobbered TCU. And, boy, it's at least interesting to look at. Now, again, I would have said yesterday before the show, yeah, he'll probably be on an NFL roster of some kind, but will he even get drafted? You know, I thought a guy like Brett Rippon from Boise State back in the day, I thought, man, that guy's going to get drafted. He ended up not getting drafted. And now look at him, you know, he's just a backup quarterback to Russell Wilson. He's probably going to be a career backup. My point is, Angel, you never know how these guys are going to translate. Tim Tebow was arguably the best quarterback in all of college football history. And then had the one good year with the Broncos, the one really weird year with the Broncos, but couldn't really make it in the NFL. I will say this, though. Can TCU play defense? Because the seams were open all night long. I mean, deep throw after deep throw, and it looked easy in this one. I mean, you just kept waiting. It's like, why are you running the ball? You don't need to. You just keep doing what you're doing. Keep throwing it downfield, and you're going to make some miracles happen. I'm telling you, man. And then, again, I can't believe Ohio State was as close. If that was the team. If that was the team last night that we saw with Georgia, I think that they beat Ohio State by a ton. I don't think it's a 65-7 game at all, but he was Bennett was on fire. Here's Stetson Bennett after the game and his thoughts of about his career with the Bulldogs.
I mean, just seeing everybody who was here from when I got here, and they're still here, and we're back to back. I don't know.
For a kid from Blackshear, Georgia, what do you say to your hometown, all the people there who have believed in you from the very beginning?
Well, it's God's country. It's the greatest place on earth, and it made me who I was today. That Blackshear, Nahanna, I give Nahanna a shout-out, too. I love those people. The Herons and the Bears, baby. They made me who I was, and I can't wait to get back there.
Stetson Bennett, monster game against TCU, 18 of 25, 304 yards, 4 touchdowns. It looked pretty easy. He also ran for 40 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, based on that game and what we've, I mean, 29-3 in his career. It's an interesting story. And TCU was the other story. That was like the beloved team going into this thing. Minus 13, minus 12 and a half, depending on what you looked at, was the spread. You know, Georgia was obviously a heavy favorite, but in college, heavy favorite is typically like 20 plus. You don't see that in the NFL. 13 and a half is a lot in the NFL. It's not that much in college just because of the way these offenses can move up and down the field, but that was embarrassing. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from last night, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, the Blue Arrow just went off last night. 34.7 boards and 4 assists. Jamal Murray was something else.
Now Murray's in the lane. Gets good look. He knocks it in. He's got it. Turn, lost it. Give it out to Murray. He sets. He fires. He gets the triple. Nuggets needed that. Murray. Murray in the lane. Scoop it up and in. Left hand. Murray for 3. Yes! Murray. Got some room. Hang. Got it again.
Good screen by MPJ.
And Murray knocks another one in. Murray up and under. Scoops it. Tips it. Yes! Murray. Ball back. Got it. Now Murray to the cup. Nuggets have the break. Murray's out in front. And Murray, flag pattern for Jamal Murray. Murray's got a good look. And he nails it. Murray. Murray up and under. Got it. Jokic with the steal. Murray's got it. 3-on-2. Murray pulls the trigger. Got it again! New season high for the Blue Arrow.
34 for Jamal Murray last night in 36 minutes. Joker got himself a triple-double. This is kind of the game I thought. These were the games I kind of thought he would have this year. 14, 16, and 11. 14 points, by the way. 16 assists and 11 boards. I thought if Jamal Murray plays like that, you don't need Joker to be an MVP. So it's kind of... There you go. Catch 22. You want to talk about that? Is if Jamal Murray plays like that for the rest of the season, that might hurt Nikola Jokic's MVP quest. Third one. But if he doesn't, well, that sucks because you're not getting your second, maybe your second best player, depending on who you talk to, playing at a high level. But Joker's still making a push for that third MVP in a row. The bad for me, did you watch the pregame for the national championship game?
Little bits of it.
How many personalities do we need to talk about this game?
70.
I mean, we had the main panel, and then every time they went to that main panel, there was like three new guys. Then down on the field, there was this guy. Then in the middle of the field, there were the commentators. And then over here on the side, there were these guys. It's crazy. You don't see that for the Super Bowl, but you see it for the national championship. And the halftime show was like 80 hours long. The ugly. What more can you say? TCU didn't show up. I mean, Georgia is way better than TCU. Scored 7 points, and that's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you guys want to get at us today, talk about the national championship game. The Denver Nuggets continue to cook through this portion of their January schedule. And I'm telling you, man, the rest of their schedule in this month, like the next 9 games, look very winnable for this team. They could rattle off a lot of W's in the next 2 weeks. Texter from the 719, if the competition in college football were a lot tighter and a third of the games these power conferences played weren't tune-up games, then I might trust the notion that college success translates to professional success. Aaron in Greeley. Well, yeah, that's the thing. You talk about Georgia's schedule. There was a lot of cupcakes. And there's a lot of these teams play crap garbage teams, and their stats go way, way up. Not the NFL. I mean, the NFL, the worst team in the league. If you can put up big numbers against the worst team, like if Russell Wilson goes and puts up big numbers against Houston, we're still talking about it. We're still looking at it going, that's good. That's an NFL team.
And you hear that a lot about some of these, you know, top 15, top 20 schools in college football that play, you know, a cupcake game or two on their schedule. They don't really have a choice in that because they're restricted on a number of conference games they can play. You're restricted on who you can play out of conference. If you want to play a Power 5 school, more than likely you have to set that up years in advance. That's why we see a lot of these home-and-home series being set up throughout the 2020s, 2030s. And, you know, those schools got to get money. And that's how they make their money, is getting that $3 million check from Georgia.
The crap teams aren't going to argue this either. They want, I mean, the players might not want to go get their butts kicked. But the crap player, the crap programs are like, dude, that's $2 million to go down to Florida? All right, sign us up. Let's do it. That's part of the system, which we can all agree that college football has a lot of flaws. Has a lot of great things, too. I was relatively excited to watch some of this game. He's like, if it's a blowout by halftime, you're switching over to the Nuggets game. Yes. The answer was yes. Although, Nuggets beat the Lakers. Lakers were shorthanded. Got to take advantage of it. And they did. Joker didn't have to play much of that fourth. Came in late. I think they're trying. Do you think, like, that game was pretty much at hand for the Nuggets. And yet, Joker's still in there late. Because you don't want to get to the point where you're blowing every team out and you're not playing fourth quarters anymore. Like, you don't want to play out of 10 games. Joker only played five fourth quarters in crunch moments. You still want them to have that feel of how to close out games and stuff. So that's why you're not going to see Malone all the time bench his guys for the remainder of the fourth, because you got to have that rhythm still.
Right. You got to have that rhythm. You got to build up that, you know, those minutes a little bit, especially late in the season. You want to be able to have your guys, you know, take shorter stretches of bench minutes and get on the floor and be out there a lot longer. But this Nuggets team, when I watch a game like that where the Lakers are shorthanded, the Nuggets kind of played down to them a little bit. But they are so good at just getting on a run very quickly. I think they went on a run to end the second quarter, mm-hmm. and kind of put that game away in the second. And then you go out in the third and continue that, and the game's over by the fourth quarter. That's what I like about this team, is they can turn it on very, very quickly.
I mean, pound for pound, the players are just, there's so many guys with that it factor that, I mean, really, it's just a credit going back to Tim Connelly and, of course, now Calvin Booth, finding those guys. They had Tim Connelly, when they drafted Joker, obviously they had a plan for him. It's not like they just drafted him for the hell of it. They thought he could be a player that they could utilize down the stretch. At the time, Yusuf Nurkic was the guy, but they drafted Joker, and it worked out better than they thought. But when it started to work out better than they thought, they quickly moved on from Yusuf Nurkic. Same with Emmanuel Mudiay and Jamal Murray. And I'm going to talk about this today. I'm starting a new podcast called, I'm working on this. I'm taking a vote, a pickaxe to grind. Nuggets podcast. What do you think?
I like it.
You in? You like it? Well, I'm going to talk about this today on the podcast. I'll record it after the program today. It'll be available at 1310kfk.com. But Conley made mistakes, but he quickly corrected those mistakes when you saw what these other guys would do. Okay, Emmanuel Mudiay was supposed to be our point guard. Yusuf Nurkic was supposed to be our center. That didn't work out. I quickly move those guys out of the way. I clear the weeds so that Jamal Murray can grow and Nikola Jokic can grow. Those are big-time decisions that happened before all of us knew that Nikola Jokic would be the two-time flirting with the three-time MVP. A lot to break into today. Zach Stevens joining me at the bottom of the hour, DNVR Broncos, on this coaching search for the Broncos. Is it going to be Jim Harbaugh? Dixon, I'll get to your text on the other side. It is Top Text Tuesday. I got a $15 gift certificate up for grabs, courtesy of Cables, Pub, and Grill. We'll be right back. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
I agree with you, Dixon, texting in on our First Advantage text line on this Top Text Tuesday. Dixon says the additions of KCP and Brown may go down as some of the most underrated offseason additions in the NBA. It's also nice to see Vlatko getting some impact minutes as well as Zeke, and need Bones to continue to bring consistent scoring and spark off the bench. Vlatko knows his role and doesn't try to do too much when he's out there, and he does some nice things. If Christian Brown continues to develop, they're going to be solid. That's the thing, man. You've already got your it factor guys. You already have Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray. When he plays like that, that's the guy. That's the guy right there. That's Bubble Murray. Aaron Gordon, obviously, has been sensational this year. Michael Porter Jr., I think he's showing more growth as an overall player, not dominating the box score every night with scoring, but he is showing growth in other areas. But then you add these other guys in, KCP, Bruce Brown, Christian Brown, Bones Highland. These are all additions. And that, honestly, Calvin Booth made some of these. KCP and Bruce Brown. KCP was in the trade and Bruce Brown was a free agency signing. Christian Brown was a draft pick. And I mean, you go back to Tim Conley, and I got a lot of respect for that guy. He goes to Minnesota, I get it, whatever. But he left the Nuggets in a better spot. Look at some of his drafts of guys that are impacting this team today. You've got, obviously, Jamal Murray in 2016. Joker was drafted in 2014. I'm just looking at guys that are... Chanchar was drafted in 2017. Michael Porter Jr., 2018. Zeke Nagy, 2020. Bones Highland, 2021. Christian Brown, 2022. All those guys are impact players. At least one guy from every draft year the last 5 years are all impact players. It's really cool to see this. And then Calvin Booth is picking right up where Conley left off, adding Christian Brown, drafting him at number 21. He's been a nice piece to this puzzle. Signing Bruce Brown. Very nice piece of this puzzle. And KCP, defensively, just, again, much better sound player than Will Barton. He's not always scoring more than Will Barton did, but you don't need him to. Just a better sound player. And then Michael Malone is really bringing this thing together. Yes, there's pressure on Michael Malone. Certainly. We're in the regular season. It's about the playoffs now. This team has gone past that point where it's like, oh, great regular season. No, no, no. Why do you think LeBron James, toward his last 10 years in his career, the last... the middle 20 games or whatever before you approach the last 10, 15, he kind of coasted because they knew it's all about the playoffs. We're going to win enough to make sure we're 1-2-3 seed, and then we're going to get in. The Nuggets have arrived to that point now where they can afford to lose. They're just not doing it. 31 minutes after the hour, let's talk to Zach Stevens coming up next. Who is leading the head coaching search? Who's on the committee? Who's leading in the room right now? Which coach comes to the top, is rising to the top at this point? So let's talk to Zach next. 32 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I wonder if that guy's going to be around long for the Broncos. Well, maybe we'll ask Zach Stevens about that at some point. But first things first, Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. He's our Broncos insider here. The Broncos did complete their interview with Jim Harbaugh. Is that right, my man?
They did, yes. And it was the first one, kick things off, Brady. And it was a virtual interview. Jim Harbaugh's going all across the country this week in recruiting. So they did the first one virtually. And to me, that's not a red flag to me like it is for some other people. The Broncos can't have in-person interviews with every other candidate outside of Evero, who they're talking to today. They can't do that until next week. So they could easily bring Harbaugh in next week or early the week after to do an in-person interview.
Yeah, so I mean, and in this day and age, it just seems like that's going to happen more and more. But I don't know, Zach. So some people are up in arms about the fact that he's not in Denver doing the interview, or they're not meeting face-to-face?
Yeah, exactly. And I understand why some people are upset about that and think, man, Jim's not taking this seriously. But we also don't know. The Broncos could have said, let's just do this first one, just kind of a meet and greet over Zoom. Certainly a two-hour Zoom interview is not enough for a guy to get a job. That's more of grabbing coffee with someone before then going out to dinner with them later. And that's how I think that both sides are approaching this first interview.
All right. So anything from your end or your side of things, Zach, as far as how it kind of went? I mean, again, you said it's the first kind of greet and get to know each other type interview. We'll see what happens next. But are you hearing anything? I mean, I'm guessing it all went pretty well because we're not seeing anything major hit us up on social media or any news reporting.
Yeah, exactly. Just kind of a meet and greet, get to know one another. The Broncos owners are there, but also Jim has a relationship with Condoleezza Rice. They've had many interactions through their time at Stanford. Condoleezza's helped him in recruiting at times, and they've both spoken very highly of each other. So there's a connection there, and I think that connection's pretty important for both sides, actually.
So who's all in on that interview? Because we've had a lot of questions. Who's sitting in for the Broncos? Obviously, we know Penner, we know George Payton, we know Condoleezza, right? I mean, who else is in that process?
Yeah, especially when they conduct these via Zoom, which I expect most of them to be in person. But when you're in Zoom, you can get more owners on there. So you have the ownership group that's in there, George Payton. And then it's different than in past years because the Broncos have not had an owner, a true owner, when they've done the GM search for George Payton, when they did the Vic Fangio head coaching search. And those were really led by the general manager and then just a bunch of other people throughout the organization. From my understanding, that's not what's taking place this time around. It's not like they have, people from every department sitting in on these. It is really just owner-driven now.
Zach Stevens joining us, DNVR Broncos. All right, so up next is Giro Evero, defensive coordinator for the Broncos. Zach, let's just go kind of one by one here. How realistic is it that he's named the next head coach of the Denver Broncos?
I have a hard time seeing that being the case. He was a very hot candidate midway through the season when the Broncos defense was the number one defense in the NFL. They were balling out. It was all the offense's fault why they were losing games. That's kind of cooled down, and you're going to see the Broncos finish right around, the 10th best defense in the NFL, which is still good, but it's certainly not great elite where you're saying, man, you got to have this guy. You can't let him leave. Now, Evero is extremely well-respected in the building. He is a really good leader. His players love him. His coaches love him, and the organization loves him. And I completely understand why. He will be a head coach someday, but that would be going down the first-time head coaching route again with a guy that's only had 1 year of coordinating experience. I think that would scare off the owners too much because the uncertainty and the floor is a lot lower than some of these other guys. So I think this is showing just how much they respect Evero, and they would like to keep him around if the new head coach wants to keep him around. But, Brady, I really don't see them going this route.
Well, and 5 weeks ago, I would have been like, man, that's going to be a major loss if they don't end up with him as the defensive coordinator, at least. But, and maybe he will. We'll see, obviously, what the new coaching staff has to say. But like you said, it did cool off a bit. I don't think we're sitting here going, man, this guy is a defensive genius. Now, he could be someday, but yeah, it faded down the stretch. And to be one of those great coordinators, you kind of got to do it at least, 90% of the season. Zach, looking at Sean Payton. Now, we all know that's the interesting one, right? Because he's with Fox, the Saints own his rights and everything. So we're hearing him talk kind of about the process a little bit, which is very unique. How realistic is it, A, that he would want to come to Denver, B, that the Saints would be willing to take whatever that pick's going to look like that San Francisco / Miami ends up yielding?
Yeah, and those are two great questions. And you mentioned it, Brady. It's such an interesting dynamic having a coach talk about this in the public when he's going through this process. You just never hear that happen. But when you work in media, that's what's going to happen. So Sean Payton, by having that great gig with Fox, kind of brings this upon himself. And so those two questions are really interesting. I think when you boil it down, the Broncos and what Sean Payton said over this past weekend, he's looking for ownership and front office. And when you look at those two things, the Broncos, who knows what their ownership looks like in terms of Sean Payton's eyes? Does he want stability? Does he want owners that have been around the game for a long time? Well, then the Broncos don't have it. But if he wants future stability and he wants money and resources, the Broncos certainly have that. So that one's kind of up in the air. And then George Payton is a very interesting one for people to dissect whether he's a positive or a negative. George Payton is highly respected in the NFL for being a player evaluator. So kind of an assistant GM, the role that he had with the Vikings. He was viewed as one of the best, if not the best, in that role for over a decade in Minnesota. But Brady, I don't know how you look at what's happened over the past year and say that he's a very respected general manager in the NFL. You just simply can't. He's had one of the worst general manager years in all of sports, really, in this past year. So how does Sean Payton view that? That will be a big thing. And then also, does he see what Russell Wilson's done these past, you know, three or four games and say, I can work with that? Or does he view the first 13 games of the season and say, whoa, I got to stay away from that? So it's really going to come down to that, because with Sean Payton, he's going to be able to choose whatever job he wants, or he could say, you know what, I'm just going to wait another year. Maybe that Chargers job opens up in a year, especially after the shenanigans that Brandon Staley pulled against the Broncos this week with just playing in starters. So that one's up in the air. And then in terms of, will the Saints take that pick? Well, the Broncos are just going to have to give whatever they want. And the Saints are in such a good position there, because if it gets to the point where the Broncos are negotiating with the Saints, that means the Broncos have identified they need Sean Payton, and that means the Saints, they could ask for the 2024 first-round pick. They could ask for San Francisco's first and a first the following year as well. So the Saints really aren't going to be the ones with the choice. It's going to be the Broncos.
And that's what – I guess that's what troubles me. And again, like you said, with George Payton, I'm not sure what the future is for him, but everything we heard when he was hired was that this guy is going to make his money in the draft. He's going to evaluate talent differently than anybody else that we've experienced in the last several years. Well, you traded a lot of those draft picks away for Russell Wilson, and now potentially you trade a lot of those draft, maybe another first round or whatever, maybe even this year's with the 2024 for Sean Payton. And then it's like, man, I thought the whole reason was to let this guy work in the draft, and you're taking away his best ammunition.
It's a really good point, Brady, and that is something, especially with Sean Payton. When he evaluates this job, he's going to have to evaluate it as, okay, not only did they not have a first-round pick last year that I get to develop, but they're not going to have a first-round pick this year because it's going to cost me. So, and that's an also interesting one, because the Rams, they could be without Sean McVay, and everything that I've heard is the Rams really, really want Sean Payton really wants to be in L.A. So if that's the case and Sean Payton wants to be in L.A., then if that Rams job opens up, that's going to be a tough one for him to pass up. But their quarterback situation is dicey along with the Broncos. Their roster is old, unlike the Broncos. And talk about not having picks. I mean, Sean Payton would be going to a place where they would really have no picks, considering they traded him for Matthew Stafford. And then additionally, they traded him for Sean Payton if they go after him.
That's going to be it. That whole Sean Payton thing alone is an interesting enough story. Then you throw in the Jim Harbaughs. So how about some of the other guys on this list, Zach, coming up for interviews? D'Amico Ryans, Raheem Morris, Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn, again, I think still rises up there because that's one of those names. A lot of people wanted him last year. I think he's certainly on some people's list this year. I keep viewing Dan Quinn, Zach, and maybe I'm wrong, but between him and Harbaugh and Payton, I look at him as the safe pick. He's not going to cost you a draft pick. He doesn't have the personality that Harbaugh has. He's just kind of a safe pick. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, 100%, Brady, and I talked about it how going with a first-time head coach, if that's Evero or if you're going with D'Amico Ryans, the floor is a lot lower, and I think that's going to scare the owners off a lot. But if you go with Dan Quinn, that floor is going to be really high. Now, is that ceiling also a little limited? Potentially it could be limited, but you're bringing in stability, and what you're also bringing in with Dan Quinn is a guy where you feel like you're not going to be embarrassed and have games that are unacceptable, like they did when they played the Los Angeles Rams a couple of weeks ago, which got Nathaniel Hackett fired. So Dan Quinn is certainly a stability guy who you feel very comfortable about bringing in. He's that adult in the room. And that's why I think he's probably that third guy right behind those first two we've talked about.
Well, and again, are those the names? Are we going to add a few more names to this mix, Zach? Or is that kind of the group that we are really going to be focusing on the next few weeks?
You know, I really do think that's the group. That there's a chance that they add one more. But, Brady, they put in these requests for interviews right when that window opened yesterday morning. And they've had 3 weeks to think about it, if not even longer to think about it. So it's not like those were just, you know, okay, who are the top guys, and now they're still evaluating. No, they've had plenty of time to evaluate who their guys are going to be. So I do think this is the list for the Broncos.
All right, Zach, who's it going to be, man? Who do you feel like it's going to be the next head coach of the Denver Broncos?
Man, I do still think it's going to be Jim Harbaugh, because there's a clear tier one. It's Jim Harbaugh and Sean Payton. And when you look at these guys, they both have had a lot of success. But Jim Harbaugh is a guy that has had success with a quarterback situation that really has never been ideal for him, having to work with Colin Kaepernick, having him to work with Alex Smith, and he's done a fantastic job in that situation. And then also, you look at it, trading first-round picks. If you can get the same quality of coach without having to trade a first-round pick, Brady, I think that just seems the easy answer. So I am not bothered by in a virtual two-hour interview that took place yesterday. I think that was just to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, I have no issues with it, really, right now at the top of my head. But I think that's a great point by you. If they're kind of both in that same tier, then one's going to cost you a draft pick, the other one's not. You got the money, so that doesn't matter. So then you look at the draft picks, which you certainly need. Last one for you, Zach. I got about 30 seconds. Dalton Reisner, Garrett Bowles, either one of those guys going to be back next year for the Broncos?
Oh, man, I do think Garrett Bowles is going to be back. The Broncos could save money by moving on from him, but I think they'd save right around $8 million. Are you going to be able to find as good of a left tackle for $8 million as you would just keeping Garrett Bowles? Probably not. However, this could be his last year with the team. And Dalton Reisner, that's going to be an interesting one. He's going to test the market, in my opinion, see if he can get, you know, $8 to $10 million, and if not, come back cheaper for the Broncos. But I do think they're going to let him test the market.
Zach, my man, nobody better. What are you working on that we can check out via DNVR Broncos?
Man, I've got a coaching tracker going on, so everything you need to know when it happens, it will be on there. So, Brady, I really appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll be talking with all the news going on.
I've got you pulled up on my Twitter account, man. I feel like a stalker because I'm always checking out Zach Stevens on my Twitter account, so I will keep it locked and loaded, paying attention to what you have to say, my man.
Brady, thank you so much.
All right, Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. He's thinking Harbaugh. I'm leaning toward Dan Quinn still seems like the safe pick, but the more I hear that Harbaugh is interested in this, it does seem like it's going to be Harbaugh. 11:50 the time, which is something else, isn't it? Jim Harbaugh, maybe the next head coach of the Denver Broncos. Let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week. This one from Prost Brewing. It's a Dunkel. I've had Dunkels from several different breweries before, including this one. You're going to want to check this one out. Pick up selections from them at On the Rocks Liquor. Check out any of your favorite brands, your favorite breweries, locally, statewide, even nationally. On the Rocks Liquor is doing a little bit of everything, and they do it the right way. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. off of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. On the south side of Highway 34 going on 47th, near Buffalo Wild Wings. Check them out. Check this one out, too. Owners John and Tony on January 28th join them to celebrate their On the Rocks Liquor 12th anniversary. Door prizes, giveaways all day long. 12 years. On the Rocks Liquor's been rocking and rolling. They've been with us in all of that time. So I really appreciate their support. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. My poll question of the day, when it's all said and done, which former CSU Ram will have the best pro career? I've been thinking about it a lot because, you know, we just ended Trey McBride's rookie season. David Roddy certainly right smack dab in the middle of his rookie season. And look at this. The Hooligans are saying Trey McBride. He had a touchdown. He got the one touchdown late. He had 265 yards and 29 receptions in his rookie season. Meanwhile, David Roddy still going pretty darn strong in that rookie season. I just feel like it's going to be Roddy for as much as they're utilizing him right now. And I get it. Football's a different sport. Tight end. McBride could be that guy. But I'm leaning toward David Roddy right now. Probably some bias there, though.
How about a wild card in this?
Oh.
Ryan Stonehouse.
That's a good one. Was he the best punter in the NFL this year?
Yep.
If he goes on to be like the Justin Tucker of punters, do you then say, yeah? I mean, yeah, that's probably a good point. He was the best at his position, not just as a rookie. So I think
punters
that's fair.
Are people too.
Punters are, they are. And Stonehouse is a great dude and a very smart guy. But that's okay. Michael Gallup, like, is Trey McBride and David Roddy going to have better careers than Gallup? Gallup's like a premier receiver. Is he elite? What do you say elite is? Top 10 wide receivers? Is Michael Gallup a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL? Probably not at this point. Meanwhile, David Roddy is averaging 18 minutes a game, about 7 points per game, 3 rebounds per game, and about an assist. And I rounded up on all that, to be fair. Right now, it is Stonehouse. It's Gallup, then Stonehouse. Shaq Barrett, though. Ooh, forgot about Shaq. How could I forget about Shaq Barrett? He's got a Super Bowl. That's a good discussion. Let's talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.